Just take one, pass them around, just like the Lord's Supper. Okay? Take one, pass them around. It's not just like the Lord's Supper. I should go back here, do half over here. I'll take the extras, I guess, unless you guys want more in one. Thank you for taking that and passing them around. This will give you some information about the Emmaus Bible Study app that helps people understand what's in the Bible. So as you take a card, give it away. Give it away to someone that crosses your path this week. And you can be assured you're giving them something very valuable. Hundreds of Christians or have laid down their lives, spiritually speaking, and poured into the Emmaus work over the last 84 years. It'll help introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message, help them understand what's in the Bible in their own time, at their own pace, with or without a mentor. It's free and available in over 30 languages, and there are options to set up local mentors. It's all free and available for anyone to use. It's a great tool for the sinner to get to know the Lord, because you're going to get them into the book, and there's going to be a teacher coming alongside getting them to understand what's in there. And there's option. It's also a great tool not only for the sinner but for the saint to grow in your faith. It's a great tool for going out and sharing the good news with others, because you know it's valuable. It's if you try it, you'll like it, and you'll see the value in it. It's good, sound, healthy Bible teaching. We're called to be witnesses and to make disciples as we go. Get familiar with this tool, the Emmaus app, and share it with others. My goal is to share this with every soul in Canada, and that obviously is not going to happen on my own. We're going to definitely need the law of multiplication. The Lord has formed a team for me to mentor in English, but there is also a need for mentors in other languages, not only in Canada, but worldwide. I was told that in French, there's actually 72 people that want mentors that are waiting for a response. In English, in Canada, I get like right now two or three a week people that do courses. That's something that's easy to handle right now. But as you share that card and you tell people to do it, it'll snowball and it'll increase. That's why the Lord's provided a team for me in English. Plus, the Lord knows I need all the help I can get. The team right now is Alexandra Anjar. She's former secretary of Morningstar Bible Camp, and Don Brooks. So they're going to help me mentor in English in Canada. And so we're going to start praying once a week. And I just hope that'll be the thing that's going to power up the ministry. Like, we need the Lord, and that'll be the start of the work. So stay tuned to what the Lord will do. We're excited. We need to get people onto it, and it's what we're called to do. What are we called to do? The app will help with that. Is the Great Commission, right? To teach people to observe all things that He commanded. Make disciples. That's the Great Commission. It starts in Sherwood, around my house, around my neighborhood. You know, if we all share the good news with our neighbors, just the square block that we live in, you know, maybe invite them to a barbecue or, you know, share the app with them. Starts in our neighborhood, starts in Charlottetown, starts in Queens County, PEI, the Maritimes, and the rest of Canada. So we're going to, the app is actually being used very effectively worldwide. And so there's no reason why it shouldn't work in Canada, in English especially. People just need to be made aware of it, because it is good quality. It's a good thing. And so it's a toolbox. It's at least it's a tool in your toolbox to be used, you know, when you need it. And you know you have it, and you can give it away freely. And I'll be promoting this at UPEI weekly, plus probably some other gospel literature, and on the mall on November 29th. And I'm just praying for more opportunities and more doors that the Lord will open. And also, just as a side note for prayer requests personally, just pray for the right tent-making job for me. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I applied as an EA, RCW, school bus driver, or something else that I'm not thinking of right now. But that's what I'm thinking. Now we're going to look at the Word for a few minutes. We're going to think about what God desires. What God desires. Wouldn't you want to know what God desires? What He actually desires? Sometimes we do what we desire. Sometimes we do what we think God desires. But what does God truly desire? What does He want? So let's go to Exodus 5, verse 1. Exodus 5, verse 1. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. They may hold a feast to me. That speaks of fellowship. Sitting at the table with the Lord, feasting with Him. It's a word that sometimes means giddy. I don't know if that describes your relationship with the Lord. I think that's what Jesse's talking about having like heaven down here, right here now, a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. To be giddy, and that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to enjoy Him, to abide with Him. So, to feast. To fellowship. And then let's go to Exodus 5:3. Let my people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord. So now we have the second one, sacrifice. And then a page over, Exodus 7, verse 16 says, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. So we have three things the Lord desires for His people. We have fellowship, sacrifice, and service. Fellowship, sacrifice, and service. And then let's just go to Psalm 116. I've been thinking a lot about Psalm 116. And it says in verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? It's a question that I've been pondering quite a bit. Asking myself, how shall we give back? How could we give what God wants? How could we, you know what that word render is? Anybody have their e-sword handy? Like on their phone? Anybody looking at that? Can look up that word render, what it is in Hebrew? What do you got? What is it? She did this before. Shub? No way. No way, that word can't be shub. What is it to render? Yeah, read it in Hebrew. Read it in the Hebrew word. Shub. Yeah, shub. We'll talk about that later. I'll have to fill you in. Again with the shub. What can we give back to the Lord? For all His benefits toward us. What would God want? Okay, in response to all that He's done for us. And the outline of Psalm 116, very quickly, is what are His benefits? How does He have our heart? Well, we know from verse 1 to 4 that He hears. And verses 5 to 7, He not only He hears, okay, sorry, verse 1 to 4, He hears, and then verses 5 to 7 is He helps, and verses 8 to 19 is He hallows, or sets apart. Okay, so that's what He does. He hears, He helps, and He hallows, or sets apart. In verse 1, we read, He has heard my voice and my supplications. He has inclined His ear to me. God hears. God inclines His ear to us. And next is God helps. It says in verse 8, you have delivered my soul from death. He preserves us. The psalm says the Lord preserves the simple. I found trouble and sorrow, the psalmist says. But guess what? He says, I called upon the name of the Lord. Why did he call upon the name of the Lord? Well, he knew the Lord hears. So he calls upon the name of the Lord. As long as he lives, he's going to call upon the name of the Lord. In verse 5, because the Lord helps and the Lord hears. Verse 5, we have a name for the Lord. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Verse 8, he delivers my soul from death, our eyes from tears, our feet from falling. The Lord picks us up when we fall. He restores us. So how shall we give back? What can we do to give back? How then shall we live based on all that he's done for us? Well, in verse 1, we have fellowship. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because, right? I love the Lord. We call this personal, affectionate relationship. It's fellowship with the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Since we are a branch, we can now abide in him, right? We can abide in the vine. And I love the Lord because, of course, we love him because he first loved us. He is the great initiator. And then we call upon him. We have fellowship with him. It's what we need. It's what we're doing tonight. We're coming together. We call upon the Lord. Fellowship. And then we have sacrifice in verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's living lives of gratitude in the day of his rejection. And the phrase before the Lord appears in verse 9. It's that phrase, before the Lord, appears 150 times in the Old Testament. And it refers to fellowship with the Lord. It being at his table, offering sacrifices to him and serving him. And that, because that word is often in the tabernacle, they were before the Lord. They offered sacrifices. They served. They feasted before the Lord. And the psalmist says, I will walk before the Lord. Okay, in the New Testament, sacrifices are before the Lord. We're New Testament sacrifices, offering ourselves before the Lord. Right? We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We live before him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's only now that we can walk before him and praise him in these mortal bodies. Soon we will have immortal bodies, and the opportunities to send treasures on ahead will be gone. There's some things we can't do in heaven, and we're with him. We can't suffer for him, can't bear his reproach. This is our opportunity now to live for him, to speak and to share the gospel, to encourage the saints in their affliction. Now is the time to give him glory and to make and think good thoughts of God and to make him look good. I love what Jabe says. He says, God has got a lot of bad press in the world. It's time for us to make him look good, to give him good publicity by praising him. In verse 16, we have the third, so we had fellowship, sacrifice, and now we have service, right? Verse 16. Oh, truly, O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. Isn't that interesting? He's been freed. His bonds are free. But what does he do? He serves. He becomes a bondservant, a willing bondservant. As soon as he's free to serve. He's saved to serve. He was held captive by sin and death, and he's freed us to serve. So just briefly, at the very end here, we're going to think a little bit about how this, again, link it to the New Testament. But think about the tabernacle. Last Sunday, Sunday morning, Travis mentioned something about the temple. That's where the temple was going to be built, where the angel of the Lord stopped in Jerusalem. And then Dave pointed out that at the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle, was, remember, the redemption price. Everyone was based in redemption. So there's a question, where did the Lord dwell? It's a kind of an easy question because I kind of gave it away. But where did the Lord dwell, make himself home in the Old Testament? In the tabernacle, right? They're going to go serve him in the wilderness. They're going to build the tabernacle. God was going to come down, and then he's going to teach us how to approach him. It all speaks of approaching through Christ. So we fast forward to the New Testament. So God made himself at home and dwelt in the tabernacle. But in the New Testament, so the tabernacle, then that links to the temple, right? God dwelt in the temple. By the grace of God, he came down, he filled the temple with his glory. So when then Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, he went to Jerusalem. Where did he make himself at home in Jerusalem? Where did he stay? Well, you'd think God manifest in the flesh, if you follow the pattern, you'd think that he would make himself home in the temple. But no. No, but where did he make himself at home? Where did he stay when he went to Jerusalem? He went to Jerusalem several times. With Lazarus. Okay, at Bethany. He stayed in Bethany. When he went to stay, he slept in Bethany. He stayed in that. So let's read that just for a few minutes. Bethany was about 2 miles away. All right, so Luke 10. I'm just going to read these for the sake of time. You can just listen. It's Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now, as it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered her and said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Then in John 12, again, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and they made a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was the one who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped the feet with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrant oil. So there we have it. That's where the Lord was at home. That's where he was comfortable. That's where he stayed. And it's a place of fellowship, of worship, and service. That's what God desires. That's where he's at home. So because Lazarus, we read, he was sitting at the table with the Lord. He had fellowship. He was feasting with the Lord. And Mary, of course, she was a worshiper. And then Martha, she served. So we have those three things all in one house. And so we think about our homes and our lives to be places where the Lord is welcome and comfortable to make his abode. Our lives, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. God in us, Christ in us. So if we think about our lives, think about our homes, would he be welcomed and feel at home in our lives and literally in our house, or maybe even here where we gather? What can we render to the Lord for all his benefits toward us? Well, to have fellowship with him and sacrifice and serve. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So basically in Romans 12 is saying, how shall we render to the Lord? What can we do by the mercies of God? How can we give back? We can present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is the smart thing to do. It's a reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you, brother.